When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, yeah. A podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Oh. Now, here's your host, Jake.
What's up, y'all? It's Jake. I am back with another episode of Good Company. Always love coming to you guys with this podcast. This is really cool. I was given this awesome opportunity by my friend, Mr. Bobby Bones. He told me, he said, you know, I think, Jake, your podcast would be a cool thing for you to do outside the music, because he said he felt like I had some things to say. And I was not only flattered at that, but I was excited because I feel like I do have some things to say and have some great stories to share with you. And this week, we're coming at you actually a little different. We're not in the studio back in Nashville. I am on the road. So I'm coming to you from this podcast from in a backstage dressing room in Canada, just on the other side of the border of the States. We are just right near Niagara Falls here in Ontario. I am with someone this week that I really am excited about chatting with, because we have a history together. We go way back. I think it's been almost 13 years we've played music together. So without further ado, let me go ahead and introduce you to one of my best buddies in the world, Mr. Myron Howell from Memphis, Tennessee. What's up, Myron?
Whoop, whoop. Canada. I'm here, baby.
We got Myron here. Myron Howell plays drums in the band with us. He has since day one. And the only reason he's missed any shows has been because why, Myron? Because you couldn't get into Canada?
I couldn't get into Canada.
But where are we now?
We in this bitch.
Oh, God.
Somebody, my mama might hear this.
Yeah,
We're here today.
Yeah. That's so, right. Yeah, Myron, my mom listens to this podcast too, man. So
I'm sorry.
We'll keep it good in PG. We got a good following on this thing. So,
cool.
But man, you know what? This is something I was thinking about each week. I think about who I'm going to interview next and who I want to talk to. And one of the reasons I was excited about talking to you is, man, because we have a great history together. You know, I talked to Greg Fowler a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
Who's the legendary tour manager that we've had for all these years. But
he tour managed Jesus too.
He's going to listen to this and probably not think that's funny. But here we are, backstage dressing room, Canada, Niagara Falls. Myron, I just thought it'd be cool to kind of go ahead and kind of introduce everyone to who you are and where you're from, and we'll get to how we met. As I said, you're from Memphis, Tennessee, and if you don't mind, man, go ahead and tell everybody out there kind of how you grew up there in Memphis and what got you into playing drums, and we'll kind of get into how that led you and I to playing music for the last 13 years together.
That's cool. Well, Americans and Canadians, my name is Myron, and I have been with Jake Owen for a nice long time, since 2006.
Six.
Right. Over the years, we have shared a lot of funny, intimate moments together. And it's been nothing but a blast. First of all, I'm going to say that it's been nothing but a blast. I've been hanging with you for all this time. And be honest with you, I don't think I could see anything else happening with anybody else I would think I could have this much fun with. So let me get that out there.
Appreciate that, man. I don't foresee myself playing any music without you beating the skins behind us, man.
Oh, you shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't, because you know, you got somebody from Memphis and he brings that thunder, you know. So now
you've been, but I gotta give it to you, Mario. Like, I mean, throughout the years, not only have you been a great drummer in the band, but you've brought such a charismatic impact to what we do on the road. I mean, yes, you play drums, and people that watch our shows come to me constantly and tell me, man, you don't realize how good Myron is, man. You're so lucky to have Myron. And I hope you do know. I do know how lucky I am to have you.
Oh, I appreciate it. We all know that.
Just the charismatic person that you are, your personality shines through when you're playing drums. People love you. I mean, we go back a long ways, and I know we're getting off target here, but I think it's important to tell people, as you were saying, you grew up in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Do you remember what, you know, how old you were the first time you picked up a pair of drumsticks and started playing?
I was two. And
two?
Yeah, I was 2 years old when I picked up some sticks, and well, they weren't sticks, they was like spoons. And my mama told me this story. She was like, look, Melvin, you're going to get this boy some drums, because I'm going to kill him for messing my pots up. So next thing you know, I got some drums. So that's where that goes to.
Yeah, and Melvin was dad, huh?
Yeah, that's my dad. He's the old gangster himself, the gangster shipwright.
And your dad, actually, we've learned this about you over the years. So your dad was a great drummer. Your dad played with all kinds of folks, right?
Yeah. He did his thing with spinners, and shoot, my dad was a jack of all trades, dude. He was like, did hair and did all types of stuff. So he used to do hair with James Brown and Jackie Wilson and a lot of folk. And I thought my dad was just running his mouth until my mama showed me some pictures. I was like, dang, you for real, wasn't he?
Your dad had a pretty sweet mustache, too.
Yeah. My man. So my
mustache
dad's
mustache,
yeah.
Melvin.
Oh no, they used to call your Sam and his Sam, because his mustache should come down like that. I'm like, man, y'all better leave my dad alone. It's his mustache. So
you said your dad's mustache used to go over his lip, right?
Yeah. He used to go all the way down his chin. So when he would eat, he would take his hand and raise it up, and then put his food in his mouth, and then let that curtain back down.
I've been lucky enough. I got to meet Myron's mom years back, and we played a show together, and I don't know where that was. Was it in Memphis?
It was in Memphis. Playing? We were on tour with Jason Aldean.
Was it Aldean or was mm-hmm. it Keith Urban?
No. I was Aldean.
Jason Aldean.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I'd heard so much about your mom, Myron. What's your mama's name?
Thelma.
Yes, Melvin and Thelma.
Melvin and Thelma. That's right.
That's awesome.
Two gangster bulldogs.
So I got to meet Thelma, and she came before the show, and she said, oh, Jake, it's so nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you. And we went out there and played that show that night. We were opening for Jason Aldean, and I was excited, man. I was excited for her to see you play. I was excited for her to see us play. And, you know, being the guy that is the singer out there, I leave the stage, you know, right as the songs are ending, as the guys are playing out on the outro. So I was the first one to walk off the stage, and I was walking back to the bus. And as I'm walking on the bus, I could see Thelma, your mom. She was already walking up the ramp to leave.
Yeah.
And
she'd had enough.
She had enough.
Man, just, I love this, but y'all, them guitars are too damn loud. I'm like,
I said, Myron, why is your mama leaving already? I didn't even get a chance to say bye. She said it was too damn loud.
Yeah, she couldn't take it. She was like, no, I got to go. Mm-mm. That's enough.
That's awesome, man. So you grew up in Memphis. You started playing drums at an early age. You played football, too.
Yeah.
Did you play football in high school?
Yeah, I played ball in high school. Played ball in high school, junior high, and fiddled my way on through and stopped playing drums and not being hurt.
Right? Yeah. So what was your first gig that you remember where you actually made money playing music? Where you realize, like, you know what, this might be my job for the rest of my life.
You know what, dude, man, you got me on that one. That was, I was nine, and before all the R&B stuff came out, it was me playing at this church, and then my dad was like, hey, stop wasting your time with all them folks, just not giving you money for your gift. Like, what you talking about? I'm just like playing drums. No, you can make change with this. Like, okay. So finally, you know, my mom kind of talked to this church, and she's like, hey, my son plays drums, and he's really good, and why don't you pay him some money? So, okay, well, cool. And I started making $40, and $40 at 9 years
old.
That's
a lot
like
of money.
Yeah.
First off, I didn't even realize that churches pay the musicians to play there.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did know one thing. Playing in a church band was something I didn't do growing up. I didn't get into music till later in life when I was in college. But from what I've heard from folks like yourself and other people I know that have played in church bands, is really where you get your chops and you start learning how to really not only play, but play with other people that are great, right?
Man, look, church. Okay, people that are Christians out here, please do not take what I'm going to say the wrong way.
I have no idea where this is about to go.
But in church, you know, it's all about the good news and yes and this and that. Blah, blah. Man, church musicians were some of the most gangster dudes in the world. It's like they was out for your job. And when you was a little kid growing up trying to be a drummer, and then some other older kid comes in and was waxing my butt. And it was like now it forced you to have to get better because you want to get better and to take his job because he took your job, you know.
Right.
That's where a lot, man, I owe everything learning stuff in church, really. Because, I mean, you have all kinds of people singing up in there. Some folk can't sing. You got some guys that play guitar or play piano that can't play. Or you get on church drums and you sitting on a stool that's got one screw holding the throne together and you about to fall on your butt and it's just terrible. So you learn to
you
get your
stuff. You just have to learn to improvise.
Yeah, man, you got to get it in there.
That's funny. So you played at church, and this is after you played football. You're now playing in church. You're out there. Well, you say you're 9 years old at this point, so that you hadn't really gone through high school yet or anything like that. But after playing football in high school, you realize that playing drums is something that seemed like that could be a legitimate job for you.
Yeah, I did. You know, and I finally started. I was 17, and I got my first club gig. And
was this in Memphis out on Beale Street or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was this club called The Ritz. Punk dude still owed me money, but that was no one to hear that. Anyway, that was my first gig playing down there, and it was actually pretty cool. I made like $200 that night. I was like, man, this is actually pretty cool. So trying to be a musician and...
Well, in Memphis, too. Yeah. I mean, you growing up in Memphis, that's some of the most famous musicians of all time have been from Memphis. Obviously, you know, Elvis. You hear about Elvis, but I mean, all these blues musicians.
Dude, would you believe
B.B. King's from Memphis, correct?
Yeah, I played with him, too.
Is Albert King from Memphis?
No, I don't think so. I played with a girl that he used to date. Her name was Shirley Brown. She was a blues singer, too.
Eric Gales?
Oh, dude.
One of the greatest guitar players that you could possibly ever hear. I mean,
and the funniest dude to ever want to meet and talk to. I so cannot wait to meet y'all introduce.
Yeah, I've never met him. I just know him through his music and how great a guitar player is. For those out there that aren't familiar with what we're talking about, make sure you do yourself a favor and check out Eric Gales. I mean, I would say from what I've heard, he's one of the closest guitar players you'll hear to somebody like Jimi Hendrix.
Oh,
just innovative, correct?
Oh no, totally. I mean, heck, we were in high school together, and RCA, I think that's who he was with.
So he got signed in high school.
Yeah, he got signed in high school.
And he's one of these guys that he's like Hendrix, played the guitar upside down.
Upside down, looked just like him, left-handed. I mean, all that. And they made him quit school to make him do records. And they was hiring tutors to make him, you know, pass his stuff. But he was on the road in high school, and we never saw him ever at school. He was always on TV somewhere. But the guy's an amazing guitar player.
Wow.
Funny.
So all these guys that, I mean, growing up in Memphis, I'm assuming, I mean, it's funny, man. I say this as, and you're a humble guy sometimes.
Sometimes,
but,
yeah.
Because you know like what you bring to the table when you play drums. But man, I think when I watch you play, it's amazing to me, and I think all of us, when we realize just your natural ability when you like sit behind those drums, how it just seems like it emotes from you just it's like an extension of who you are playing drums.
And
the times that we have been here to Canada without you, no offense to guys like Keo Stroud, shout out to Keo who've saved us many times playing drums with us, but when you get used to playing with somebody that's back there playing the way you do, it's interesting when someone else comes in. It's kind of you get used to the differences and what that's all about.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that too. By the way, thank you, Keo Stroud, Black and I'm Stroud. I appreciate you, man. But seriously, Yeah, you do. And, you know, and like I said, you know, it starts from my mom and daddy, because it's like, my mom and dad is everything to me, by the way. But, you know, I would watch them at home, and my mom and dad were such bulldogs to the point where when they get to arguing, I'm talking about it was like two pit bulls fighting each other. They would argue, and me and my little brother being that crying, like, why y'all crying? Why y'all arguing? And they arguing, but the point I'm making is that my dad and my mom instilled in us to be aggressive about what you're trying to do, and if you don't believe it, ain't nobody else gonna believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
one of my favorite things, I've learned a lot from you, Myron, over the years, and we'll get to this, but one of the things I've always loved about you is the sayings and stuff that you have that and you've always referenced your mom and dad growing up, and I love that, because I think for those out there that listen to this podcast and have heard me talk a lot, you all know how much I speak of my mom and dad a lot, and being out here on the road having these guys in the band, it's like an extension of your family. We all are, in a way, family members. We talk to each other about a lot of things, but over the years, Myron, you've had these sayings that you've come up with. One of my favorite one was, and you can tell everyone, I believe it was your mom who told you in life, you got to make sure that you keep your grass cut low, right?
Oh, yeah. No, my dad, that was my dad right there. And so I'm fixing to let America know something that people don't know nothing about this. So my nickname at home was called Bean.
Why?
Because I had a big head when I was a little kid. So everybody was like, oh, Bean, come here, Bean, come here. You know, so anyway, my daddy said, hey, Bean, come here. When you get out there and play drums, you need to keep your grass cut low. I'm like, Dad, what the hell does that mean? You know, I'm not going to say that to him, but what does that mean? Yeah, when you keep your grass cut low, you know where your snake's at. It's like,
That's right.
Metaphorically speaking, I understand what that means. Oh, wow.
That's right.
And now you be out here on the road and you know where your snakes are.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I've got a lot of sayings like that throughout the years that I've kind of picked up from you, and also Greg Fowler. Back again, shout out to Greg Fowler. Greg
Fowler.
We have a book full of Fowlerisms that he's said over the years. But so we'll get back to how I met you. You know, being a kid that just got a record deal, moved here from we're sitting in Canada, but I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, dropped out of college at Florida State University. And what was so crazy for me was I had this kind of slammed together band that we used to play cover songs and stuff at Florida State at a place called Potbellies. And when I moved to Nashville, I moved on my own. So I was kind of at a point when I got a record deal, it was time for me to put together a band. At that time, a guy, Victor, our bass player, y'all had played shows together in Memphis. So Victor came to me, and at the time, Jimmy Ritchie, who was producing my record, and said, hey, man, I don't know how you feel about this, but there's a guy from Memphis I know. He's not a Nashville guy, but he's from Memphis, and he's interested in going out on the road and playing some country music. And I said, man, I'd love to hear him play. And he talked about how great you were, so I took Victor's word for it. And next thing I know, I met you for the first time on Net, dude. I can remember like it was yesterday. I remember I pulled up to soundcheck over off of Cowan Street in Nashville, which is right near where the new Topgolf is now. Mm-hmm. And you were there as you are daily. You had a phone stuck between your ear and your shoulder. And you were like, what's up, man? I'm Myron. And I was like, what's up, Myron? I'm Jake.
Yeah.
And so the first time I met you, you were on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm actually surprised you're not on the phone right now while we're doing this interview.
No, because Canada won't let my phone work.
Yeah, they charge you extra.
Yeah, they charge me extra. So
Myron, so what the heck, you know, at that time when I met you, what was it that made you decide you wanted to leave Memphis for the time being and come out on the road with some, first off, me, you didn't even know who I was. I'd never even had a record out. But what was it that you said, you know what, I'll go out on the road and play country music? Because as I've laughed at you over the years, you didn't grow up listening to country music. You know nothing.
Never.
You know nothing about country music.
I still don't know nothing about country music. I don't.
Do you like it?
I do.
You do? What do you like about country music?
You know what? I like the stories that they tell. I like how funny and dumb some of the songs are, but they have a great groove to them. But as far as to answer your question, I've never played country before, and I've always been a guy that want to try new stuff. You know,
Because you'd played with, I mean, you played with a bunch of people before you ever played with me. And you mentioned, you know, Justin Timberlake from Memphis. You played some gigs with Justin Timberlake. Yeah. And anybody else you want to shout out to? Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
I heard of him.
Yeah. Let me see. BB and Hank. I played with Janet. I played with Patty. I played with Steven Seagal. And played with, shoot.
Hey, one of my who's the guy that you were playing with? Was it at BB King's or something? You sat up and jumped up with that you said was said the most gangster thing to you ever?
Oh, that's Little Jimmy. He's a blues guitar player, which is actually Eric Gales' brother.
No way.
Yes.
So tell everybody you gotta hear, this is great.
Oh my God. So okay, like I said, Eric Gales is the character, but all his brothers are characters. All of them are the same. So we were playing the show, and this guy walks up to Little Jimmy, his stage name was Little Jimmy, and this guy says, "Oh my God, man! Oh my God, dude! The way you play guitar was amazing, and that blues song, the way you played the blues was awesome, man!" And he looks at it, he says, "Mm-hmm," but the question is, did you learn something? And he was like, He was stuck. He couldn't say nothing. He was like,
"Yeah, but did you learn?
Yeah, but did you learn something?" And he had his long curl. He says, he always says, "Mm-hmm." But did you learn something? The guy was like,
he was speechless.
I did learn something. We was looking at each other like, man, that was the most gangster thing I've ever heard, right there, ever. So then here's Eric Gales. He plays guitar upside down. And so he says, and Eric Gales comes on stage and says, "That's right, everybody. That's right. I'm Eric Gales. No, you're not looking at no camera tricks or no smoke and mirrors. I'm playing this cocksucker upside down." We was like, and he said, "Now let's get the rock and roll it." Dude, it was like, that's all the people that can come up with that type of stuff.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Yeah, and you were good enough by you. You kind of self-edited that before you said it. So for those out there that heard that,
that was a disclaimer.
Good, man. We're good. We're not, you know, being guys on the road, being musicians out here. You know, we're not always perfectly. You know, and plus, this is a podcast. It's for those that want to tune in. For those that don't. You know what I mean? So
you know, let me cut you off. Let me back up when you asked me that why and what made me. My mom and dad instilled in me a book of good character, judge of character, that's it. And I'm what you call one of those guys that do not hide his feelings well, and if I'm not feeling you, I don't mess with you. But when I got here in 06, it's something in my heart said, this is where you're going to stay for a long time.
You really think in 2006, you would have thought in 2018... you would still be playing drums for this kid who just got a record deal?
I mean, you really don't know, but in your heart, man, if it's like it's just like the same thing how you felt when you say, "Look, I'm not going to stay in school longer. I'm going to go do this."
Right. You got to follow your heart.
Yeah, you feel what you feel in your heart. You got to do it. And that's what I felt in my heart, man, when just rocking with you. I said, "Man, this is my dude. I'm going to ride the tires off of this mug here. And we're going to go to the top." Then we met Greg Fowler. And Greg told me, he said, "Look, I don't know what's going to happen, but me and you, we're going to take Jake Owen to the top. And I want you to be here as long as I'm going to be here." And I told him I would. And I'm still here, and Fowler's still here.
Yep.
So,
That's cool, man. Well, yeah, you have no idea how much I appreciate you. I know we talk about that all the time when I tell you, but I mean it, man. Like, you have no idea how much I appreciate having you out here.
And not just
playing music, man. Just what I've learned from you over the years. And really, that's what I wanted to do by introing you to those out there through this Good Company podcast is that, and it's great to me to hear you talk about your family like that, because I really strive with this podcast to talk about positive things and the things that have influenced us over the years. And
are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Man, I mean, we've already been talking for, you know, 15, 20 minutes here, and we could talk for hours about...
Oh, we got 2 minutes. Okay, so check this out. One story that I'm going to tell about Jake Owen.
Oh, God. I don't know where this is going.
So this is where Jake didn't realize what kind of guy I am. You know, and for all those that have met me at these shows, you know, part of the reasons why we do what we do is because we love what we do, but we want to make you guys forget about problems and issues and whatever that's going on in your life to make you just forget and just have a good moment with us. But if you ever see us out on the road, don't be afraid to say something. Say something. We're here because of you. You know what I mean? Thank y'all for coming up to me. And, hey, I'm just trying to get y'all to be part of my world, you know. But anyway, now, with that being said, Jake Owen, this was 2008, and Jake was moving out of his house into a new place. And Jake says, hey, man, I don't have nobody to help me move. I said, okay, but dude, I'll help you. That's cool.
I know.
So, this joker, he goes and rents a U-Haul truck.
U-Haul.
And this was during a CMA Fest time, so Jake was in and out. I said, dude, go do your thing. I'll move everything and whatever I can get, you know, and I'll move it for you. Which I did, and I did it all by myself. And so later on, Jake and Brandon says, hey, man, we got to go down to the LP Field and, you know, appear down there and blah, blah, blah. Man, I'm going to send a car and pick you up. I said, dude, no, don't worry about it. Go on and do your thing. I'm going to
Wait. Let me stop you for a second. This is at a time, too, when I was moving. I was moving from the little apartment I lived in, and I moved into that house, that blue house over there that you came. And at the time, Myron was riding a bus.
I was riding a Greyhound with homeless people in that piece. You hear me?
you were riding a Greyhound bus, man. We'd come home off the road. You'd ride the Greyhound from Nashville back to Memphis, and then when it was time to leave again, you'd get back on a Greyhound bus, ride it all the way back to Nashville just to get on another bus to go back out on the road. So the reason I bring that up is when you're in Nashville and you'd ridden the bus there, you didn't have a car or anything. So when we told you we'd send you a car to come down to LP Field,
I was like, man, I'm cool. Yeah, I'm straight. So I get in a U-Haul and put some cool clothes on and go to the club. And the dude said, Jake says, wait a minute, where did you go? I said, I went to the club in the U-Haul. He said, you went in the U-Haul? I was like, yeah, it's got tires on it. I'm going to drive it, you know? So when I pull up in the U-Haul and I'm getting out the truck and these girls are walking by, they was like, man, this dude drove the U-Haul to the club. I'm like, I sure did. It's got tires on it. I'm going
to
drive it.
We need to write a song about that, man, like a rap tune about, man, driving a U-Haul to the club. I've never heard a song like that.
Sure, drive the U-Haul to the bar to get your Bud Light.
That is hilarious. We have some funny stories. When we moved into that house, I said when I moved into that house, I asked Myron, I was like, man, you're going back and forth so much on this Greyhound. If we only have a few days here and there where we're not not going back out on the road, or we are going back out on the road. Why don't you just stay here at the house? Leave your stuff here, man. So you can stay, take the room upstairs. And so we kind of became roommates there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And how about the time, man, that it snowed in Nashville and I had that black Tahoe?
So this dude here is, okay, so who all know Jake Owen? Jake Owen has exquisite taste, okay? So Jake Owen had, that's two stories this comes from. So when one time I was getting off the bus and him and Kendall Martin were in the truck together.
Kendall
so,
Marvel, yeah.
Yeah, Marvel. And Jake had these.
I had a black Tahoe.
Black Tahoe, tinted black. I mean, I'm talking about it was jet black. You couldn't see in or nothing. So in the chocolate world, you would see the black Tahoe. Black folk would automatically think it's the police or the vice, right? So I'm walking out the door.
You were at the bus
station. Yeah, I was at the bus station.
I was coming to pick you up at the bus station.
So Jake pulls up. Hey, Myron.
The Greyhound.
Come on, get in. Yeah. So Jake said, hey, man, come on. So the black dudes outside was like, hey, man, don't get in that truck. That's the vice. They taking you to jail. I'm like, man, nah, these are my guys. Man, don't trust them, man. Don't trust them. So anyway, Jake got all these rims and everything put on his truck. We go driving down the street. Everything was cool. So Jake, we get to the bottom of the heel of the driveway. Jake
said, that driveway was straight
up. It was stupid steep. So Jake said, hey, you think I can make it? My dummy butt said, yeah, you can make it. We can do it. Joe, he hits the gas, go up the hill, and he started sliding.
I started sliding sideways. But you know, if we would have slid off that hill, man, the where it was, I mean, it was like down a mountainside.
Yeah, it was down a mountain slide. But he going to grab me like he was a seatbelt. Hold me up. Like, dude, if you hold me and we tumble over, there ain't nothing your arm going to do. Got to keep me safe.
I stuck my hand on Myron's leg just to make sure he wasn't going to fall out or something. He's like, man, what you holding my leg for?
What you holding me for? It ain't going to stop nothing.
That's hilarious, man. I think, too, something important to touch on, you know, and I want to bring this up because it's something that's important right now in our world, in America and stuff, is I've watched you, Myron, for all these years come into the world of country music, which, as you know, is predominantly, you know, listened to by white folks. You
yeah.
know? And I've watched you over the years, you know, it's funny this day and age, what you see exploited on the news about the black, white, things like that. What you've always brought to the table, man, I've respected so much about you, is that has never affected you, man. And I've watched it. I've watched people, white folks, be blatantly racist to you. And I cannot commend you enough, man. And we don't need to get into it as far as the
time. Oh, we can get into it. I'll tell you about it.
Yeah, but the times that, like, it's happened, man, I've watched you, you know, from times where we were at the hotel and a guy tried to accuse you of stealing something at the hotel.
Yeah, his punk ass.
And, but, man, without getting into all that, I want you to know that you, man, are the reason that people, like, you set an example, man, in so many ways that I wish those out there in the world, and that's why I wanted to have you on here, too, is, like, you and I coming from totally different backgrounds that traveled this country together, and the things that I've seen you handle, but you've handled them in such a professional way, in a way that not only is professional, but in a way that I wish the rest of the world sometimes would view it as. And quite frankly, there's been so many times that I've been disappointed for those. And as I said, I not to make this like some black-white thing, but
no, but
it's important,
said,
man, because you and I are like best buddies, man. We've been this way forever. And when I see this, we see this stuff on TV that talks about hatred and stuff like that. I think it's important for us to show that that's not what it's like. You know what I mean?
No.
But the way I've seen you handle situations that you've been put in that I know for a fact made you uncomfortable.
Man, I was uncomfortable as hell. I mean, just to talk about it, we were in Corbin, Kentucky one time.
Corbin, Kentucky, yep.
Man, this girl had my blood boiling like hot fish grease, you know what I mean? But what's crazy about it, and I'm going to say this to everybody, everybody has a choice to make. You could either be that hoodlum or redneck or whatever, what have you, to handle what you handle the way you handle it. My thing is, my name is not what you call me. That's what my mom didn't give me that name, so why should I answer to somebody that's calling me out of my name? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but with anything and everybody, it to this day, kids are walking around filming fights all the time. You know, either you got a choice to be dumb and film it, or you be smart and break it up or just walk away from it. You know what I mean? So we were in Corbin, Kentucky, and this one lady says, "Oh, hey, how are you, babe?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm good." So Greg Fowler's being funny because we were in a small town.
A small, like, little white town.
Like, really small. Like, it was like, yeah, you know, it was that type of small. So Greg says, "Man, don't look like it's that many black folk here, Myron." I said, "Yeah, it don't look like it." She said, "Oh, no, we got three of them that work in the kitchen." I was like, strike one. Then she says, "Okay, what do you want to eat? Fried chicken or you want some sweet tea?" I'm like, "Oh, babe, strike two." So then she comes back out and says, "Yeah, and the first of the month, we always have KKK marches." I'm like, "You know what? I'm not even hungry no more. You have a great day." So
yeah, and you got up, man, and you walked out. And I'll tell you, all of us, I still remember that day. And I'm disappointed in, sometimes in ourselves that we all just didn't stand up and walk out. But the way you handled that and the way you've always handled, you know, just diversity in this country, and quite frankly, to use the word racism, it still does exist.
Yeah, it does.
It's unfortunate that it exists.
Very unfortunate.
But what I love hearing you say is what you just said, is that it's about choices you make, you know? And unfortunately, there's those out there that are just, they're just ignorant people on both sides of the fence.
Both sides of the fence.
And it takes someone like yourself to be strong enough to walk away from a scenario like that and turn your cheek to it and be strong enough to show that that kind of thing is not going to bother you. And
yeah, I mean, just to sum it up, how you say it, the best thing to say is, for men, you know how we have an ego and a macho thing. Just because you turn the other cheek doesn't mean that it makes you a punk because you walked away. If somebody wants to fight you and they're being belligerent or whatever, okay, walk away, dude. Just to think about it this way: I'm going to live to fight another day.
And you're stronger as a person and than that person by actually you win the fight by walking away.
Yeah, you do.
You know what I mean? Because there's nothing that you're going to cure by getting into some sort of argument with someone ignorant.
But here's the thing, though. Some of them be begging for that ass whooping. No, but God bless. And it's hard, boy, because I want to give it to them because I got bricks in my hand. I want to hit them in their mouth, you know, but it's not going to solve nothing. And then on top of that, for instance, say like the lady in Corbin, Kentucky, if I had went off on her like I could have, which I had every right to, we probably would never got paid because that was a promoter's wife. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And we would have been, well, Jake Owens' crew turned out some lady's restaurant. Oh, because she was, it's a choice. You got a choice to do it, man. Walk away. It's no big deal. Just because somebody called you out your name, that don't mean it defines who you are. You know what I mean?
You're right.
I'm a nice guy. Sweetheart. Chocolate. Sweet.
You are, man. You are. You're one of the nicest people I know, and I've loved over the years and get to know you and play music with you and laugh, man. You've made me laugh harder than anyone that I've known in a long time.
Oh, and the sauce that make that meat taste good, aprons are coming out 2018. Just look out for that.
Well, there is so much that we could talk about, man.
Oh, man, we talk about all kinds of stuff.
We could go on and on, but really the purpose of this podcast for me is to talk to people that it's called Good Company. It's about the company you keep, and I'm proud to have you with us, man.
Yeah, I'm proud to be here,
man. I
want
to keep doing this with you as long as possible. You know, for those out there that are listening that come to the shows, make sure you say hey to Myron. Myron's, I got to give one last story before we get out of here.
Okay.
That I think is great. When Myron first started playing with us, on the road, he used to dye his goatee bright red.
Oh,
remember,
man,
that? And he used to, every show or two, he would take red dye and he would dye his goatee. And so while you were playing on stage, that thing would be dripping wet and your shirt would be...
I had Kool-Aid all over my
shirt.
Looked
like you had Kool-Aid on it from dripping from your goatee. But one of the funniest things, one of the first tours we were ever out on was with Kenny Chesney. And one of Kenny Chesney's stage managers... You used to wear this bright yellow shirt all the time with your red goatee, and then you wore those bright yellow goggles.
I actually stick out those goggles too, by the way.
Yeah, you did bring those back. Myron used to wear goggles all the time, and he'd either wear them while he was playing or he'd put them on top of his head. And I'll never forget the stage manager for Kenny Chesney one day.
Oh,
Myron went walking by, and he had yellow shorts on, bright yellow shirt, bright yellow goggles with this mirrored tint in his red goatee. And he goes, "Damn, Myron, you look like a topwater fishing lure." That was one of the funnier things ever.
That's right.
But thank you, Myron, for all the laughs over the years. Thank you for teaching me life lessons, man. Thank you for telling those out there and sharing your story with them. And I say this all the time, but the reason this show is called Good Company is because of people like you. You're definitely a good company, man, and I'm proud to have you as a friend. And I appreciate you coming on here today.
Well, I'm going to tell you, people out there, when you come to the show, I'm going to start having story time with all the drunkens, okay? I'm going to read stories to you until the police come pick you up and take you to the wagon and make you sober up.
All right, y'all.
That won't make it cut.
Again, I can't thank you enough, you guys, for tuning in. It's been another great episode of Good Company with Jake. That was my buddy Myron Howe from Memphis, Tennessee. We've shared a lot of years together. We didn't even scratch the surface on the stories and times we've had together. But looking forward,
getting me on a dang old mechanical bull. That was never on my bucket list.
How about the time that we got you? We were in Denver. We took you wrapped you up in that burrito thing that hoisted us up literally like 1,000 feet in the air and dropped us.
Damn, that will never happen again. Or, okay, here's another thing. How did find too many black folk kayaking?
What about the time, Myron, that you that I took you to kayak?
Oh, just for the sake, man, got me. I just bought some brand new shoes that day. And Jake was like, hey, man, we're going to go kayaking.
Down the
like,
Harpeth River, Kingston
cool.
Springs.
What is that? Oh, yeah, we're just getting boat, you know, just ride on down, man. No, about 2 seconds
this
in
is
the
also,
water.
This is also when you were about 100 pounds heavier.
I was 130 pounds heavier.
130 pounds heavier.
Yeah, right. I'm letting everybody know.
I said, hey,
Myron,
I was like, we can just get a canoe, man. You and I can get in a canoe or instead of having our own kayaks. He's like, nah, man, we ain't getting no canoe together. I'm getting my own kayak. Yeah. So I got my kayak. I'm like, all right, man. So I get in my kayak. I'm starting paddling down the river. I'm waiting on Myron. He's over there trying to shove himself inside this. I mean, at the time, how much did you weigh then at the time?
I was like 340, 350, something like that. I was a heavyweight.
350 trying to get inside this kayak. Man. And
I had about an inch of clearance from the top of the boat to the top of the water. Like just one false move.
And you flipped it. Right there, it wasn't 10 feet from the dock.
But this is what pissed me off today. First off, I can swim. Let's get the stigmatism black folk can't swim, because I can, okay? Let's get that out of the way. Number two, Jake says, hey, man, it's only going to be 2 feet of water. Bull. And water was all the way past my head, and you do this, and go down and get your run and start putting your feet
but
on the ground.
But you also said before
nothing.
That you don't like getting in water, you can't see the bottom.
No, man, snakes, beavers, everything to be in there. I was like, no, man, and I can't believe Jake got
beavers.
Me in
beavers.
No,
snakes,
sir.
Beavers?
No, sir.
Oh,
I'm like, I won't be doing this no more.
We might have to revisit this podcast at some point, man. Get you back on here. We ran out of time today. But again, thank you guys. Y'all give it up for Myron Howe. Myron Howe, Memphis, Tennessee. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Good Company Podcast with Jake. We'll catch you next time, and we'll see you then. Thank you guys.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.